Way, way back in the 1980s, secret government employees dug up famous guys and ladies and made them using genetic copies. Now they're clones of sexy teens. Now they're gonna make it if they try. Loving, learning, sharing, charging. Time to laugh and shiver and cry.
Welcome to a very special episode of The Little Shows That Couldn't. You can tell by the music that we are watching Clone High. I'm your host, Brett Medill, with me as always, co-host Sean Stewart.
Hello.
And as you can see in the title, our guest this week,
whoa,
the one, the only, Master Ace, Mark Legace.
Yes, so.
Welcome back, Mark Legace.
Thank you. Yeah, you always try to come up with a nice nickname.
I don't know.
Come on a show.
Sure.
This is great. I never get enough nicknames.
You know, hey, everybody needs like a pseudonym every once in a while.
Doesn't hurt. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, hey, you just... It's good to have another moniker or two, a call sign, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to come up with synonyms for pseudonym. we're having
good
a little word fun here. I came up with call sign and handle. I was working on it. So we're watching Clone High. It's the first two episodes of Clone High. The first episode is... Oh, what was it called? It had Rope
here,
of Sand.
Give me
the title.
I have all the titles here.
Oh,
I got, okay, episode one's title is, official title is Escape to Beer Mountain, : A Rope of Sand.
So the Rope of Sand is a reference to Cinnamon J. Scudworth's school paper.
Look into the teenage psyche, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. So in this episode, we are introduced to all the clones, and we get the standard kind of high school sitcom trope of like having to get beer for the big party to look cool, right?
Yeah.
So that's kind of our plot in this episode, and of course Abe, who don't want to mistake those guys. But Abe, of course, gets the non-alcoholic beer, and he gets exposed in the end. And our B story involves mostly about Cinnamon Scudworth and Mr. B and the search to relate to clones. So what do you think, guys?
Wow. Clone High is like my favorite show of all time.
Excellent. Yeah, I mean, we wanted to have Mark on. We've had Mark on before for Lucky Louie. If you're a new listener, this is not Mark's first appearance.
Yeah.
But yeah, Mark's a big Clone High guy, and we wanted to make sure we had him on to give us opinion.
Definitely.
Yeah, I don't know. Like I remember probably found the show like a lot of Canadian teens did, waiting for the Latin channel to play the Playboy show late at night. You didn't
what?
Know? Like,
okay, no, yeah, no, I want to hear this.
We grew up in a small town, you
cable,
have to understand.
Okay, on cable, like Teletoon was like 43, I think, growing up in Winnipeg.
Okay.
I'm being very local here.
Okay.
And then 42 was like the Latin channel.
Okay.
Occasionally at around like midnight or so, they'd play like the Playboy Latina version or something.
All
right. So, you know, I'm like 2002, I guess, when this was out, I would have been like 13 years old. So what am I doing? I'm flipping between Teletoon, seeing what's good on Teletoon, and waiting for the Playboy to come on.
Of course.
So that was naturally when they would play
that makes sense.
Clone High. So I got to get my giggles in.
It's like, hey, this is hilarious.
That's kind of how I found Mr. Show, to be entirely honest. I think I found Mr. Show more or less because the Comedy Channel was up there, because I would be staying up late. Yeah. I would like, and I'd be trying to catch like the Baby Blue on CTV.
Yeah, Baby Blue.
You'd be looking for the Baby Blue too. You know, you get the soft cores late at night. So, and that was, I think that's how I found like the Tom Green Show and Mr. Show.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
So like that's, it's a special time in a man's life when he's 13, 14, and he's just looking for breasts.
He's looking for boobs.
Just looking for breasts anywhere he can find them. And sometimes he stumbles upon something that he can appreciate.
Sometimes
that's Clone High.
There was sometimes it is. It took a good investment of time, even when you knew that the Playboy show was on, because it was one of those ones where it's like, a lot of backstory going on, and it's all in Spanish, which I do not speak. So I was trying to figure out the emotions of what's going to happen, because the sex just kind of breaks out whenever there's just two people in the room. So you have to who's leaving this room right now?
Right,
what's happening here?
Is the action more clear in a Latino porn than in a telenovela, or is a telenovela easier to follow?
Very, very, very close, I think.
Very similar, yeah.
Very similar in how the plot is communicated to a non-speaker of Spanish. Okay. That's
it's all about the close-ups.
These people look mad. These people look a little upset, and now they're fucking. Okay. Perfect.
Okay. Yeah. You learn a lot about filmmaking from the late-night Latino Playboys.
But of course, yeah, so I have to kind of credit that B behavior defining Clone High and a lot of like the shows that Teletoon was putting out at around this time too.
Yeah, for sure, definitely. A lot of late
Mark's cartoons. A big sticking around fan.
You know what? Sticking around for them Latino boobies. That's what I'm gonna do.
There was the charm to that show as well.
He's gonna defend it. He's gonna defend
sticking around.
He's
Wait, are we talking about sticking around now?
Well,
or Clone
we're
High?
Going just as Mark's gonna sit here in front of us and he's gonna defend sticking around. Like, I just want to, we're
hey,
not going
to. I'll defend sticking around. I used to watch the shit of that show. You're on your own, Brett.
Was there a character named Dill on that show?
Yeah.
With, like, one big eye?
Did he only have one? No, he had,
no,
he had two eyes,
but one was, like, massive. Yeah. And then his friend Russell.
It had its style, and it stuck with the style.
Yeah.
And it was unique.
I'll give it props for being, like, a Canadian-made animation series and whatnot, but come on. I mean, it was at least as good as Hey Arnold.
I don't know.
You're not going to get any love for me on Hey Arnold. But
Hey
Arnold's
pretty
we're
tough to love.
Yeah. As long as we're digging into old old cartoons.
How about Rocko's Modern Life, you guys?
Okay. I've seen one episode of that.
Really? Oh. Yeah. Let's not get too sidetracked here.
Yeah. We're going to continue on with Clone High because
we can do
that's what we are
go
here
down
for.
This loophole
down
forever.
The rabbit hole, guys. We can catch ourselves here.
I mean, we could do a podcast called Pop Culture Rabbit Hole and just sit there with Wikipedia and just do that.
Remember
as
this
show.
Thing? Remember this show?
Oh my God. Who would want to listen
guys,
to
Ghostbusters,
that?
Right?
So Clone High, I mean, I love the art style on Clone High. It's got a very distinct art style with outlines, heavy outlines on a lot of the characters and really like weird
thick
bodies
lines.
And sharp angles.
Yeah, definitely.
I don't know. I really like it. It's just got its own very unique style.
I feel like
too.
We should mention like the opening credit scene. If you're not familiar with the show at all, it could feel like a drama almost. Like someone like recommends you like, oh, you should check out Clone High. It's hilarious. The first time you see that that intro, you're like, this is a comedy? What? It feels so out of place with what else happens in the show.
But it communicates exactly what the show is
about.
Yeah,
it says everything right in the title.
Very quickly.
So.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, and then also, in addition to that, once this first episode starts, the characters emerge, like, fully formed immediately. You know exactly who each of these people is and kind of, like, what their struggles are going to be as we watch, right? Like, immediately, like, the first thing we hear about Abe, okay, obviously he's taller than everyone else. Like, oh, hey, you just grew a bunch now. So he's the awkward guy. You've got the spunky little puny Gandhi
party
bouncing
animal,
off the walls.
Yeah. Party
he's the
animal. Absolutely.
He's, absolutely snapping and high-fiving. Party animal.
Joan of Arc's kind of the emo goth chick.
But she's also like got so much heart, right?
Tons of heart.
I think
like
Joan.
Most goth people.
Joan might be out the audience's stand-in on this show.
I would agree.
That's probably, that's probably good.
And then we get JFK who. He's going to be exactly who you think he is. And, I mean, he gets introduced with Marilyn Monroe, right?
Yeah.
Through Marilyn Monroe. And then Cleopatra's first appearance just makes me want to, like, throw bricks at the screen with laughter when she walks in all, like, walk like an Egyptian holding her books and
totally.
Stuff. Like, just
she actually, I caught her in the other episode doing that as well. So I'm hoping it's not a recurring theme.
But it's good. Like, it's a very detailed show.
Yeah.
There are visual jokes like that in there. It's not going to hold your hand, and it's not going to highlight every little joke it's making. There's going to be a lot of jokes that just kind of fly at you, and you have to just kind of be smart enough and paying attention enough to see what was happening. There's like one instance. I'm going to take this right into some of the jokes that I don't think would stand up, because one of the jokes that I think is right there that nobody walks you through it, but they very clearly made Genghis Khan a mongoloid. And I mean, if you can get away with it, I think it's a funny joke, but I'm kind of surprised that they could even get away with that. Like, I don't know. Certainly using the word mongoloid to refer to children with developmental delay was not appropriate in 2002 any more than it is now. So, like, I mean,
right.
I just don't know.
But I don't know. Like, they never really say that he's a mongoloid. I mean, he has characteristics, I suppose you could argue. But I don't know. I think.
I don't know. I love this show, and I have a hard time when I see Genghis Khan. It just gives me a little bit. It's a little tough. And then, I mean, this episode also has a lot of like very not sensitive jokes about depression and suicide.
Yeah.
Well, it doesn't help. I mean, Joan of Arc starts up a teen hotline or a teen crisis line, and Gandhi somehow becomes in charge of it while she's going off to the party at JFK's.
Yeah, how
and
is it that
he gives the worst advice to everybody that calls in?
How is it that they were unaware that he was fielding those calls from the field? I mean,
yeah, no
I want to
right?
jump into the brass tacks of how this. Let's break down the reality of this cartoon, okay?
Let's do it.
But I mean, there is, such as it is, there is a reality here. I mean, we have to accept that human cloning has you know, come a long ways.
Right. And Gandhi's clone should be nowhere near a teen crisis line.
I was going to bring up a point about Genghis Khan. Is part of the reason why he's not quite right is because his DNA is so widespread that maybe there's like some sort of inbreeding that's occurring just from like trying to find like his DNA
or like an extra chromosome somewhere.
Just
you
like,
never know. Clones are never perfect.
Like, so
I guess if we're going to dig into the science behind this cartoon, then we could come up with lot of possible reasons that would explain the insensitive joke that they're making. But it won't change the end result that they're making an insensitive mongoloid joke. That's all. It's a good one. It's a good one. Listen, I'm a dark mother father. I will write some dark and disturbing things that I think are humor.
Yeah.
And I'm just surprised. I just wouldn't expect them to make it onto a nationally onto Teletoon. That's all.
It just seems like he's just part of one of the clones, though. It's not like he's treated differently.
You're right.
Exactly.
You're right.
Except they do talk about how they treat the special disabled kids. There's a lot of jokes.
They
like,
do
like,
build
that,
a moat to
yeah, the
protect
moat.
Them
That's
from
the other episode,
the special
you guys.
Class.
Getting ahead of ourselves.
But like, so I don't know. At the same time, I can try to defend them. But then, yeah, they do take a lot of pot shots. You're right.
But they just kind of let them pass, too. They just kind of take a shot and move on. But, I don't know, some of it's a little... I'm okay with insensitive. Like, I'm progressive, but I'm not a social justice warrior. I think you can find humor in suicide and depression. I'm just surprised when they do it on a cartoon for children. Well,
it got an 18-plus rating.
I was going to say, that's an entirely different conversation to have about whether this wasn't for children,
no,
really.
This
it
wasn't.
Was not intended. But it was also kind of in that, I would say that the kind of the golden age of adult cartoons that were made for adults kind of started
for sure.
in the 90s.
Yeah.
But they haven't really hit their stride until much
early
2000s. Till after this, you know, until...
when did Aqua Teen start? Because that was about 2005.
You're right. It's a good point to make.
It's pretty
a
close.
A few years after Clone High ended, Adult Swim got started.
Yeah.
And that kind of proved that there was a market for that. Like, I think that's kind of what happened was that it slowly built with things like Aqua Teen and C-Lab to prove that there was a market for adult cartoons before really high production level stuff like this started being made for them again.
I don't know. I mean, like, are we just not ignoring, like, The Simpsons as being a...
But, I mean, but to hold that up as one thing, The Simpsons was successful for a very long time. Yeah. And
definitely,
and it certainly
well.
It certainly like, started everything.
When did King of the Hill start too? Like
1999.
Okay, well, there's a lot of shows. Like, I mean, those would be like,
I suppose
those
but
are
I feel
like huge network shows.
Yeah, as
maybe now making it more viable for like smaller like.
But I feel
shows,
like those cartoons are a lot more ground. Well, Simpsons, especially in its earlier seasons, was a lot more grounded than something like Clone High was.
You got a point. And King of
King
the
Hill,
Hill
is extremely
King of the
grounded.
As grounded as any.
You're talking about like absurdist, then like.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, we're not just talking about adult themed stuff. We're talking about
like
kind
silly
of
adult
more
stuff.
Silly
like
and absurdist. Yeah. Silly stuff was only being made for children. Like Animaniacs was what was silly on television, right? Like that was where absurdity was at. Was on Pinky and the Brain and like. And it came from Warner Brothers cartoons, though. Like, a lot of absurdity and silliness really does come from that, and that's cool. But, the more adult absurdity didn't come along until more with Adult Swim.
I am on board now.
Okay. Well, I'm glad we were able to talk through that. We get a few... They definitely set up some of the tropes that we see throughout this season. Gandhi's big eyes when he gets emotional. it's always fun. And, I mean, again, to hammer home that this is a progressive show, I don't remember seeing a show... prior to Clone High that had two gay dads on it.
Yeah.
Like JFK's two gay dads.
To find something, yeah, early like, 2000s.
I can take shots at them for making some of these jokes that I think are insensitive, but then they're doing really progressive, sensitive things like giving JFK two gay dads.
So they even themselves out. It all works out.
But then they make those two gay dads horrible stereotypes.
Yeah.
One of them's a macho, and like there's a top and a bottom in that relationship. Yeah. So maybe we shouldn't dig too deep into the progressiveness. I'm just going to give it a pat on the head, say good job for having two gay dads, and then pretend that there's nothing else there to mine. And really, they don't even introduce, they introduce the five main characters.
Right.
And then they introduce Cinnamon, Principal Cinnamon Scudworth and Mr. B. Of course, you know, if you're going to have a high school populated by clones, they need to have some sort of a evil scientist for a principal, right?
Yeah.
For a principal slash monitor.
Monitor. He controls them.
Pretty much. Well, we assume he can control them.
He's set up as a psychopath immediately, and like he has a robot that, I mean, the origin of Mr. B, I mean, did Cinnamon build Mr. B to be the voice of reason? Like, was Cinnamon Scudworth more sane and he built himself a robot to take care of him and then he became a crazier person? I really don't understand what's happening. There's a lot to unpack between the Mr. B Scudworth relationship.
Maybe we'll find out more in other episodes.
Yeah. I mean, Mr. B kind of anchors, he anchors a lot of things. I just love
him.
He does.
He gives Joan of Arc that helpful advice to make a move on Abe a little late, but he gives that advice. He's a very, very informative robot.
And, you know, and for a high school filled with clones, they set up very, very few of the other clones in this episode, right? We get those five mains, a couple of side characters, and then really we get like, we get Genghis Khan, we get George Washington Carver, and we get his peanut. And not a whole lot, and Van Gogh.
And Van Gogh, yeah.
Right, yeah, Van Gogh's in there too.
But that's really about it. I couldn't even think of this. This, I don't know, it seemed kind of, there were through lines to me. I feel like Venture Brothers comes very much out of the lineage of Clone High.
Yeah, definitely.
The art style, the board of, even like the board of shadowy figures always makes me think of the Guild of Calamitous Intent. Like those two things are parallel organizations to me.
Or possibly the same organization.
Yeah, sure. Why not?
Why not?
They. I mean, the Guild of Calamitous Intent certainly can be described as a board of shadowy figures.
Absolutely. That's what they're known for.
Yeah.
I don't know. If we're looking for something to talk about, I just like to talk about Mr. Peanut.
I love the peanut.
Because he's anytime he appears throughout the show, it's only for like maximum 5 seconds, but right. It always just makes me laugh. It's like the high pitch, like, laughing at his own joke. How can you not love him? It's the greatest
Salty
thing.
Seconds.
Well, and that's really, I mean, that's where the value of this as a cartoon comes in. It really, as a cartoon, it delivers comedy. It uses its ability and flexibility as a cartoon to deliver jokes. Joke. But the stories are all just very, very grounded, very realistic stories. To contrast it with the last show we covered was Stella, a show that was without plot.
All over the place.
Without plot or character. Stella is like a show that's like, hey, can we tell a story without plot or character? And the answer is,
nope,
not really.
Baby, sort
of. Kind
of,
sometimes.
For 20 minutes.
But it can make you laugh. And so can Clone High.
I will say that Clone High has so many things working for it because you're hitting on like the kind of teenage soap drama
for sure.
Tropes. The high school, just like all the tropes that come along with that. You have all these historical characters.
Yeah.
You have just a bountiful references you can make through that.
Yeah.
You have a cartoon. You're a cartoon, so you could also just get away with like breaking every single
rule. Do whatever, yeah.
And then, I don't know. It's just like, it's just fantastic. And then like, they just play with all the different, just any, throughout the season. As
it really seems like a recipe for success. It's kind of a shame it didn't last more than one season.
Now, if this gets made now, if you were going to reboot Clone High, do you think that the general public has the historical knowledge in their heads? Do you think people are still carrying around enough knowledge in their heads about history to get the comedy that's happening, to really understand the show? Or would it be a show that people have to like research to get?
Well, no, I think they'd probably get it because they, again, if you're using the same characters that they use, I don't think you're gonna, you know, people. I mean, it's not they have Cleopatra, and like you said, beyond like the hieroglyphic kind of poses that she sometimes takes, it's not like they're referencing like so many like Egyptian.
Oh, I have cats everywhere.
It's not super.
I mean, does she have cats everywhere? I don't know if that's ever brought up. That would be a pretty solid joke, right?
Yeah, it would. It'd be a great joke.
Like a little joke to throw in there.
But yeah, they're throw-in visual jokes. Yeah. Like the Mongoloid thing. Not a lot of people would put that together. I did enough to be unhappy with it.
Yeah.
And also pleased. I don't know. I don't know, because I think I really just like that joke, but it's like I'm like, oh, are you allowed to? Like that's really I'm just kind of
uncomfortable you are, Brett.
With it. Apparently you are.
I mean, again, if you're gonna laugh at the joke where Gandhi just says, "Wow, I'd totally kill myself," when he's talking to somebody.
Yeah, exactly.
Crisis hotline.
Oh, it helps. It's wonderful helping people.
Yeah, but you know what, Gandhi.
You have to throw the morality to the side when you're watching this cartoon.
He gets his comeuppance at least.
That's true. He
does.
He's
hoisted by his own petard.
Van Gogh paints the shit.
Yeah, his insensitive dealing with Van Gogh's issues. Turns Van Gogh from depressed into a stalker, I guess. Because he immediately has come down from his room, from his very Dutch painted room, to this party at JFK's where he's hiding in a bush. We're not gonna.
Again, it's a cartoon. They can just jump to that sort
of
thing.
Exactly,
and you know, the beauty. And the few cutaway gags they do too.
Yeah, there's a few
good
ones.
Yeah.
Family Guy hadn't killed that style.
Yeah.
And you could still do it.
Well, it's been canceled at this point.
You still can get away with a few cutaways. You just can't base all of your humor on cutaways. It becomes a crutch.
And then bring it back 10 minutes later.
No, Clone High doesn't do that.
No.
It allows you to insert Mr. Peanut every once in a while for one quick hitter.
One salt peanut pun or whatever.
You get some quick hitters, some puns from Mr. Peanut, and you're good, you know? Like, left nut. Who doesn't want a left nut joke from Mr. Peanut? I know I do. And then, yes, did air originally on Teletoon, but its connection to MTV is there. We can tell that MTV doesn't have the brain cells to produce shows like this anymore. Like, MTV...
No.
Like,
did
even,
they ever,
even
though?
When this came out, MTV... The biggest show on MTV was Jackass.
Yeah.
This wasn't right for MTV. Hmm. That's why it only got 8 episodes. But it did benefit from that partnership in that it had access to all those songs.
Yeah,
and in the
first
episode, you hear... I think it's 2 different Dashboard Confessional songs.
I'll take your word
for it.
But
it's, you hear them over and over and over again. That was new music that I was listening to in 2002. Like, I was like, yeah, switch of the standard lines we cross. I mean, it's great. It's great. I was
starting
was
to like
super
get
emo.
A bit more, to your emotional status of them.
Getting in there.
Getting some nostalgia feelings with Clone High.
Getting them feels up.
Yeah, I mean, we haven't really even talked about the plot, but they get to the
say,
party.
Really, yeah.
It doesn't really even matter.
Abe buys beer for the party, which gets him into the party.
Everyone acts like they're drunk, even though
it's not alcoholic beer.
Mm-hmm. You've seen that before. What's another show that did that trope, that gag?
Huh. On the spot, I don't know if I can think of it.
But you've seen it
before. I say Home Improvement. I don't know if it did, but
it's very familiar.
Yeah, that seems like a real Jonathan Taylor Thomas trick to try and pull, you know?
Yeah,
definitely.
As long as we're making 90s references.
But if we're talking about the party and the beer, the cop character, I think he comes up in future episodes, but like,
definitely.
Just like, mwah, mwah.
He's great.
Yeah, he's great.
Can't do any better than that.
Hello, underage drinking.
Well, we've only got 2 spots in the car, so...
Everybody else is free.
The rest of you are free to go.
But then Abe saves his friends in the end.
Yeah.
Because that's what's important, friendship.
But then after, he's like, he tries to win the crowd over, Abe does. Like, he tries to pull, like, a community Jeff Winger, like, get everyone back on his side. And everyone's just like, nah! Yeah. Boo! Screw you!
Go away!
He gets rejected immediately. Oh, which is really what high school's like.
Right.
Yep. Pretty much.
Salty Seconds.
Salty Seconds. Episode 2?
Yeah, we also, I mean, we did the other secondary character that was introduced was the Elvis twins, for one. Oh, for right. A quick hitter joke
well,
there, too.
That was a good one, too.
Or maybe they're not twins.
There's
maybe there's
now.
Just one now. Yeah.
There's probably just one now.
Oh, did they kill one of the Elvis twins in, like, the first 2 minutes of this episode?
You betcha.
They may have.
I'm actually...
We'll never know.
Well, I guess we'll have to watch subsequent episodes and see if there's two of them or not.
Although I also think we should finish with episode one without talking a bit about Scudworth's plan and him going to the party and his like, what
oh,
up,
right.
fellow students?
Well, yeah, he's
almost
got,
worked.
The short shadowy board, the board of shadowy figures needs him to write a, basically turn the tables on him, write a school report about how to be a student. And so he goes to the party undercover. Wearing his, still wearing his big like yellow science
giant,
gloves
yeah.
or whatever like
rubber gloves.
That's a weird character
and,
detail.
And being accompanied by the robot,
yes,
the very familiar yeah. robot.
Hey, Mr.
Hey,
Mr.
Has
B has
a
big clock on, like Flavor Flav, so he fits right in. He's clearly not. Hey, is that a robot? Nobody knows. Might be Flavor Flav. Is he dead? He could have been cloned.
As far
by
as
now.
I know, he's still alive.
Maybe
he's
they
closed.
Oh, maybe he died and they cloned him.
Well, yeah, maybe
Flavor
they did.
Flav.
We'll never know.
Or we'd be like Flavor Flav. I
Wesley.
Can't.
Wesley. Yeah, you got out of Wesley.
Oh, Wesley.
That's right. Random humor in quotation marks.
Yeah.
Done well.
Yes. Yes.
Totally. And we get into episode two.
Sure. For sure. For sure. Episode two called.
Election Bloogaloo.
Election Bloogaloo. Okay, so there's... I mean, and right there in the title, there is a reference to an 80s movie.
Mm-hmm.
This is a very... What I got the most out of this episode, what really was clear to me was how satirical it was. It was like really heavy on satire, and it kind of just made me appreciate that... The producers of this show, I mean, you can see where it comes from. It's carried through to their project since then.
For sure. I thought you meant like the overall message of the episode would be to sell out, because that works. Because then you become the president.
Well, yeah. And, I mean,
you
Phil Lord and Chris Miller did.
Like, yeah.
They're making them. Like they worked for them in the Lego movie, and I don't know. I think more it's you could make the point that it's about selling out. I think the more reasoned point that gets made by artists now is that selling out isn't a thing. Like there's no such
right.
thing as selling out. Like that's you can either make a living or you can not make a living. Like
right.
I think we've gotten past the point of pointing fingers at people and accusing them of being sellouts and kind of like,
but
oh,
this is
hey
early
man,
2000s.
Yeah.
This was still
oh sure
a
then
viable,
yeah screw everybody,
yeah. Sign your life away.
Yeah, absolutely.
And eat blue goo for the rest of your life.
Yeah, and it was, but also kind of before energy drinks because. If this was made a few years later, it would be clear that Extreme Blue would be some sort of an energy concoction, but they didn't even try to say that, you know, which
yeah.
tells us how long ago this was. Pancake batter and blue house paint. Did you guys catch what the, at the beginning, Scudworth has a model of the thing he wants to build? Did you see what it was called? The
no.
theme park? The clone-themed
yes.
theme park?
Cloney Island.
Cloney Island?
Cloney Island.
He wanted
nice.
To build Cloney Island, big Ferris
one.
Wheel and everything, but,
can't no time.
Can't
no time.
It. And did you guys catch a dolphin in that first episode?
Yeah,
I did.
In the first episode?
In the first episode?
No, I don't think I
did. I didn't either,
maybe,
but it's got to be
there.
Was there
one in the pool? Maybe?
It's got to be there.
Or was there,
we must have
there
missed
a pool?
It. Because I definitely saw one in the second episode.
Yes.
There's a dolphin in 22 Jump Street.
Yeah.
There's a dolphin in everything these guys make. I haven't watched Cloudy with a Chance of Spaghetti and all that stuff, but I'm willing to bet that there's a dolphin sound and or sight in
or like
each
a,
of those.
There might a dolphin
be.
Can
sure.
somewhere.
I would be...
Can a dolphin. Raining from the sky.
I would be surprised if there were not dolphin sounds somewhere in those in all of the things they do.
I don't
dolphins. Know why.
Is this a theory that you have?
Well, in every episode of Clone High, there's a dolphin.
It, was there one in episode one, though? Did we confirm that? Can,
based on the premise that there is one in every episode, I'm saying that there must be, and
but
we
why,
missed
then
it.
Why weren't you watching it? Why weren't you on Dolphin?
Yeah, why didn't
you think about it
watch?
Until I noticed it in the second episode? But I'm guessing that it's in the first one, too. intrepid listener,
yes,
use your sharp eagle eyes and your Sherlock Holmes magnifying glass to determine where and when the exact moment the dolphin appears in the first episode of Clone High. And there will be a special, I don't know, Twitter shout out to you.
We'll read your name
we'll
on
like,
the air.
We'll be like, hey, thanks.
Thanks, you.
Yeah?
You're
yeah?
the best. Come hey, on. Have I ever you told can. You you're the best?
You want to watch that show again? Yeah. Do it for your
Should we get into the plot of episode two? We kind of
yes. Yeah, I was going to say, I didn't want to be
it's
rude.
It's all
I
about
didn't
selling
rude
out.
Like, well,
no, no,
me,
we
sir.
Talked right. about it selling excuse out. Me. We talked about it's about, yes, it's an election. It's
yeah.
a student body election. Another classic school sitcom trope.
Cleo's reign of terror
oh my
on
God.
The school is finally coming to an end.
Yeah.
But she's manipulating her boyfriend JFK to run so she could eventually usurp him.
Cleo's kind of like a Vladimir Putin figure in this episode.
Yeah.
She can't be president anymore, so she's like, I'll be prime minister for a while. And but she's like, I'm going to be president again yeah. now.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. So really, I'm making some bold statements. Cleopatra is the Vladimir Putin of Clone High.
Whoa, snap.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm gonna go there. She's ex-KGB. She's a extreme manipulator of the highest order.
Yeah.
So JFK is run unopposed, and Joan of Arc tries to convince Abe to run at the grassy knoll.
Yeah.
And behind them is the most graphic picture of John Wilkes Booth, like, blowing Abe Lincoln's head like clean off, like there's chunks. It's incredibly.
It's
graphic.
A restaurant. No one is going to
yeah.
eat
yeah.
in
Who
front of that painting.
There.
Is it a restaurant? It's a restaurant where they know that clones of these famous people are there. So you're going to have just their deaths on the walls
yeah.
of this diner.
Yeah, I
That's
mean the
poor...
the diner is already called the Grassy Knoll.
That's poor wall swag.
Yeah, it's really like.
Poor job on the host that led them to that table.
Yeah, it's like,
yeah. Okay, Abe Lincoln, right this way. Was there? I guess the table with Joan of Arc on fire was unavailable at that time.
And
I
that
guess
would have
so.
Been a great joke for
that.
Them,
would have been pretty
like
good.
A pan over. Or something.
Yeah, at the next table, there's just like someone's like roasting hot dogs over Joan of Arc's body on fire.
Oh, no.
Just awful. Just terrible.
But hilarious.
I want to know what other death scenes from characters of this show are depicted. How did wasn't Gandhi assassinated too?
I don't know about that. But
I
JFK,
I didn't watch the movie.
Apparently, I don't know anything about Gandhi.
We'd have JFK,
yeah,
getting just destroyed.
It's yeah, unpleasant.
I will note
there are many, many ways.
Was it in the first episode when Gandhi's in the bathroom
yes.
and Gandhi's like, hey, and does like the gun fingers
yeah.
and JFK is like, ah, like freaks right out.
That was good.
Great. Subtle.
Yeah. 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 I didn't even think about that. And also Gandhi definitely believed in nonviolence.
Yeah. That's the other thing.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Finger guns. Definitely. JFK, bit of a phobia there perhaps for firearms. Warranted.
Yeah.
Warranted. He's probably read a book.
That's the thing that they don't ever really like. They kind of flirt with that they know that they are clones and they know that like they're famous people. But it doesn't come up all the. I think it would come up a lot more frequently.
You imagine, yeah.
But
yeah, I guess it's more. But really, it just exists to be able to make
yes,
history
of course,
jokes
yes.
and stuff. So it's nice, whatever.
But they're always
cool
talking about how they never like compare to their.
Yeah.
Who they were cloned by.
They don't live up. Like,
Abe is always down on himself.
Abe's, how are you going to live up to the idea that you are cloned from a president?
JFK is doing a pretty good job.
there's yeah. that. But and then, well.
Just crushing it out there.
He's in Tang City.
Yeah.
JFK just constantly. I guess. But it's not like Abe can grow up and free the slaves. It's been done.
Yeah, that's true. He just knows he's got some sort of major struggle to deal with, and that's his thing. Whereas I guess JFK probably read most of the chapters up until near the end of his biography. It's like, well, it's pretty good. Pretty
Marilyn
good.
Monroe, eh? Well, okay, good perfect. I'm just going to stop reading this here now and continue living.
Yeah, where are the other Kennedys? Yeah, there shouldn't there be point. Some more Kennedys?
Maybe they would have shown up in other seasons.
Or it just would have been too sad to be like, to have RFK with him. Like, they're both just like two dead Kennedys that have been reanimated as clones. Or no, I'd just be like, nah, Robert Kennedy's not famous enough, not signature enough to be immediately recognizable. So how does Abe choose to win? How is he going to win this election?
Well, he definitely has a hard time winning over the school, so he essentially sells his soul out to the extreme blue people.
Makes a Faustian bargain with the marketing.
Definitely.
Yeah.
And he runs that shit hard.
And he's good
and
at
he ends
it.
Up winning,
But does he end up winning?
Well, I mean, he wins against JFK anyway.
That's right.
According to official Clone High rules, whoever has the highest applause on the applausometer on Mr. Butlertron is the ultimate winner.
The official applausometer of Clone High.
It's official. Yeah. And the puppy just beats Abe with no problem.
And you know what? And right there in the ending of this episode, like, I mean, I think we're skipping over a lot of things, but, and that's fine.
We'll get into
it. It doesn't really even matter. But that kind of... When I'm talking about it being more meta and being more like satirical and aware, it's definitely poking fun at its own format.
Yeah.
And like, and certainly in the end, it feels like there's the applause meter gets broken out and it feels like it's a deus ex machina to set up Abe as the winner. But then as soon as it does that, it undercuts its own ending by declaring the puppy the winner. Because it gets, of course, a puppy gets more applause than a human. Every single time that's going to happen. I don't care who you are. Everyone likes a puppy better than you.
It's very true.
Note, it's like the most like simply drawn, it looks like it was like drawn by like a 10-year-old child, like puppy. Just like the most adorable thing ever. You're like, oh yeah.
Biggest
yeah,
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 oh,
yeah, exactly.
Just
no,
perfect.
That puppy? Yeah. That puppy's going to be president.
Also,
I'd vote for that puppy right now.
Yep.
Also, notice that Cleo immediately starts hitting on the puppy.
Yeah. As soon as she was going back and forth with JFK and Abe. Like, no matter who is it, whoever was in lead of the polls, she was like, okay, well, I'm just going to hang off him now.
Just the most.
Just the worst.
Just the most transparent, manipulative, just, I saw a stripper behave like that towards men once in a bar, and I was just like, there it is. Like,
it exists.
Like, I'm just, no, the like, succubus. It is something different to see someone that baldly manipulating people. That's all. Like, that's all I'm observing. Is that
so? You're saying that Cleo is basically a stripper?
No, I'm
the
saying
she'll grow
I'm
up to
saying
be a stripper.
That Cleo is at a time in her life where she has developed some features that are getting her attention, and she is pushing boundaries to explore how she can use her natural gifts to her advantage. And hopefully, over time, she learns that that the way she's doing it right now is not the optimal way to do so.
She won't.
But yeah, this Clone High has a completely unflinching look at teen sex. A realistic sort of stance on this. This is, you know, a lot of shows play down or ignore the raging hormones that are happening inside of teenagers. Or at least they try to make it a little bit more palatable.
Disney-fied.
They nerf it. Not Clone High, man.
Kudos to the sound department too for some of the makeout sounds.
The makeouts you hear that sound on this show over and over and over and over again. And you see that shot. It's even in the opening credits. The Cleo and JFK making out
the
shot.
The tongues just like lashing onto each other.
The tongue wrestling. You get that shot and that sound so many times in this series, and it's always just. It has like a guttural impact. It just really lands hard.
I mean, I feel like we should make that sound for the listeners' benefit. We're talking audio, but at the same time, it's such a gross thing that people just tune out when you hear it.
Yeah, nobody's like, gonna listen for the next like 15 seconds if we do end up making that noise.
Yeah,
like I just think that the live action shows could not approach teen sex the way that this cartoon did. which I continue to appreciate. Though I haven't watched some of the hasn't MTV, and maybe there's a show from England that has kind of pushed the boundaries a little bit more with kind of teen sex in the recent years.
The In-Betweeners?
That's I think yes. Yeah, that yes. might be the one I'm thinking.
In-Betweeners, there's not much sex
well,
going on
in terms
In-Betweeners.
Of talking about the lustful suppose, nature yeah. of teenage okay. boys, yeah.
Definitely.
They push it. Well, if there was a line, like, we can't even see it in the rearview window anymore.
Okay.
That's how far they go across it sometimes.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Pretty so that's just, good. Yeah. It's good to know that there yeah. are, there, that, you know, that 13 years later, there might be some room for live action shows to go to the same places that this show did so long
yeah.
ago.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah. And I also really loved the, just to touch on this, the Extreme Blue people. I don't know what else we want to really say about them. They're accompanied by kickin' rockin' music whenever they appear on screen yeah. or say anything.
Yep. Because they're extreme.
I don't think Razor Scooters were cool when this was made. I think that was a good joke. Like, they come in one scene, like, all zooming in on, like, scooters, like...
They might they're... have been. I mean, scooters are
I
never...
I don't think Razor
was
Scooters were ever cool.
It was
yeah.
never
no,
cool.
They were never...
They were certainly marketed to be cool.
Right.
yeah.
And never that's really...
Hey,
that's
remember
what
skateboards, yeah. kids? Try yeah. this. It has a handle yeah. on it.
Hey!
You know, smack your ankles.
yeah.
Oh,
try
yeah.
whipping
worst
it
pain
around.
Ever.
It's yeah, because even on this show, they were able to write those characters as this is what some executive thinks of as the right thing.
Yeah,
for sure,
it's good.
And
lots
Gundy
of,
gets hooked
parody.
On the Extreme Blue He's and becomes incredibly obese.
They refer to him as a Smurf. What like
dead
a
Smurf?
Dead Smurf.
the when
puppies,
the puppy was licking
the
his face,
licking the dead Smurf.
He's like, oh, it's the dead Smurf. He's licking the dead Smurf's face. And then that's when the class lost their shit.
Yeah. Oh wow. Where did that puppy come from?
Who cares?
Magical
He's the class president
land.
Now.
Okay.
Oh, that's what so matters good. The most.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then Marilyn Manson sings us a song yeah. about the four food groups.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, I love Schoolhouse Rock. So like I'm always down for
Absolutely.
My cartoons to end with like a song and dance number. And if that can include Marilyn Manson, you know, why would I take issue with it?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I think the guest stars just really tell us where MTV was at in 2002. There's like Tom Green, Marilyn Manson, like
yeah.
who else are features in here on this series as guest stars?
I don't know.
As guest stars just Stamos, John Stamos.
Oh yeah, Stamos. Yeah. They make like a Mina Suvari reference in this episode.
I was looking at the IMDb guest list, and Mandy Moore is.
Oh, yeah, that's right. She's on an episode.
Is she though?
Yeah,
well, I mean,
so.
Like her animated persona is on the show, but like in the IMDb credits, it says herself question mark. Like
oh,
IMDb's not even sure if it's Mandy Moore.
So like they
Mandy
credited
Moore.
It as Mandy Moore
yeah.
in their credits.
Yeah.
But IMDb's like,
but IMDb's
yeah.
like, well, I don't know, maybe.
We'll see. Mandy Moore's not telling.
No, she never will.
She's like, I was in Saved and all that Walk to Remember. That's it.
Pitch Perfect.
That's it.
No, that's
I'm out of Mandy Moore movies.
Was she famous for being a singer or an actress?
I think she was a singer who became an actress.
Yeah, yeah.
I can't remember sometimes. It goes back and forth.
It's
so
yeah.
often,
but it's like, but for her, it's particularly confusing because I don't think she was either of those things successfully for very long.
No.
But I think that she was a singer first.
Okay.
That's
good to just have that settled.
That's, yeah,
mind.
We can.
Yeah,
we
got
we can
that.
Figure out
we got
Mandy
that
Moore's
down.
Career arc. I got a couple of questions for you guys.
Shoot.
Who is the villain of this show?
Overall?
I mean, one of the characters is obviously vamping around like a villain, but I would not make the argument that Scudworth is the villain of this show.
Well, I would make the argument that it's the shadowy figure.
Okay.
I'm going to throw my two cents into that pot.
And what do you think that the agenda is of this shadowy figure? Or the board of them?
I think it's like, isn't like the guy's name shadowy figure as well?
Oh boy.
I'm not sure.
Very likely,
I hope
yeah.
so. I think so. But,
we'll find out.
But yeah, I don't know. I think the fact that they don't have their stated purpose throughout the show, as far as I know, and I've seen the show a number of times. It's run,
maybe it's just to
just
monitor
like,
the
why
clones.
Why do they want the clone? Like, why? What's the purpose of these clones is a good question that you can ask. Why does this show exist? Why are there clones? There's a purpose, but it's never made clear.
So you're coming from a position that
they're shadowy government people, so you can't trust them, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, okay.
You can't trust any government.
Ever.
If they were less shadowy, we might be okay with it.
Yes.
Like, we might be able to believe that they had, like, a good purpose for this if they were a little less shadowy.
Perhaps. Yeah.
Okay. That makes sense. How about you, Sean? Do you have a different opinion?
I don't know. It's hard to say because JFK is a very antagonistic person, but only with Abe in regards to Cleo. So
he's
not like,
of Gandhi.
Yeah.
That's true. I
but
guess
they're not
does.
Really contentious.
No, it's more just like a, just like a jab.
Yeah, but you're right.
I don't know.
Abe's an actual potential rival for JFK. Everyone else just can ignore and belittle.
Yeah, I'm pretty
yeah,
sure.
So
like,
he's gunning for him.
If they aren't female, then they're just completely ignored by JFK otherwise.
Unless it's Abe.
Unless it's Abe.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I keep wanting to like make references to Saved by the Bell with this, but you can't really do it. It just doesn't really apply. I mean, because there's no Joan of Arc character who's trying to like keep Zach from trying to get with Kelly or anything. You know, like there's
that's true.
Because I wanted to say that like JFK and Abe have like a Zach and Slater type relationship.
Because I
understand a lot of things through the lens of Saved by the Bell. Saved by the Bell was a big part of my life. Apparently.
And I mean, you could argue that Gandhi was a Screech.
Sure.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Because he's a goofy character. Yeah.
Clearly, I'm searching to understand way too many things. Who is the Leon Carosi of Clone High?
Yeah. Stacy Carosi?
Yeah. Well, now you're just proving that you know things about Saved by the Bell, which is what I was doing before, and I don't appreciate this.
Good.
Which clone are you, Mark?
Oh, just going to lay it on me. I'd love to be Mr. Peanut.
Well, that the way you're looking right now has you... I mean, the beard is definitely...
I was Abe for Halloween
this year. You're in the spitting
year.
Image of Abe at the right. moment. It's your beard. And you did...
I pulled it off.
You did play Abe. And how did you tell everyone that you were Abe from Clone High?
I held
High?
Up the DVD a lot of the times. Like, there's a picture. And then the cover of the DVD is... See the sideburns?
Hey,
I cut them. I cut the sideburns down to make it look like the beard and everything. Put a little mole on my face. Had the same kind of blue and white shirt. It was great.
Nice.
Yeah, you're a real dedicated super fan.
To do. Yeah.
So Mark is, but you'd rather be Mr. Peanut?
I'd rather be Mr. Peanut if I was a character, I think.
And why is that?
It just seems like he's just full of life and nuts as well.
He definitely
he's
seems
full
of
nuts.
Yeah.
he's a salty dog.
Yeah, he just got the quip. He's quick with the wits and just like the one-liners and
bing, boom.
I'm waiting for later on in the season for the movie between Gandhi and George Washington Carver.
Oh yes, oh, yeah.
Black
I don't know
and
what
tan.
You're talking about.
Oh yes.
Which clone are you, Sean?
I'm gonna go with Gandhi.
Yeah, you have always identified
pretty
with Gandhi.
Much wacky, go crazy guy.
Yeah, yeah, you're
that's
a
super high
bag.
Energy. Yeah.
Super high energy, just tons of fun. That's me.
Oh, Sean, with his zany high energy.
You know me doing backflips off of porches and all that stuff. That's me.
That's cool. You know, I guess. I mean, I wanted to say I was Mr. B, but I guess the question is, which clone are you? And Mr. B's not a clone.
Technically, not a clone.
So that kind of stymies my original position. Abe, I gotta go with Abe too. You know, well, I guess you were actually saying that you're
I'm
Mr. Peanut. I'm Abe.
So you're Abe.
You know, I'm not interesting, you guys. I'm not a compelling figure a lot of the time. When I'm given a choice of characters, when I'm playing a video game or something. I don't have fun playing a villain. You know what? I play the straight-ahead hero most of the time. And really? I just want to be... That's usually what I do when I'm given that choice. And maybe there's just a lot of expectations. But part of me thinks I'd be Abe. But I want to be Joan. Because she's the heart. She understands. She sees how things really are. And she doesn't get sidetracked with all the bull crap.
That's true. She's pretty she's pretty straight edged.
She's grounded.
Definitely.
I'd like to be more like Joan.
I think we should all be a lot more like Joan.
Yeah.
That's great.
That's just good life advice.
Yeah. Hey, if you're in reality, you should probably act the most like the grounded of these cartoon characters.
Yeah.
Because
stop
the world
animated.
Out there is not like that world.
Not at all.
I guess this only leaves one question to ask, and that is, who is the MVP of these two episodes of Clone High?
Let's go with Mark first.
Guesty McMark.
Da, 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 da. I don't like. Okay, can I go last?
You get to okay.
Because
you know
I'm trying to
as
like,
a guest.
I'm trying to
you know,
give a good answer here. And I feel
okay.
like I'm put on the spot a
okay.
little bit.
Okay. All right then. We'll let you go last, Sean.
All right.
You're gonna go second.
Okay, I'll go second.
I'm gonna Sean's gonna go second. I said Sean, you're gonna go second.
You were looking at me.
I know.
These, like,
I'm gonna go first.
Eyes.
Well, I'm not gonna look at this.
Okay, okay, okay.
It's like a
around.
Whole
okay.
movement.
If we're gonna take issue with the order of events, I'll bite the bullet. MVP, Gandhi.
Gandhi.
I love the little bugger. He's all over the place. He's bouncing off the walls. He's smurfing out. He's being insensitive towards the depressed. I sometimes get depressed. I don't know. I like Gandhi. I think he's the MVP of these two episodes.
I agree with that. I'm also going with Gandhi.
Has a lot
for
of
MVP.
Fun.
He's one of my favorite characters in this show. And I'm glad that they didn't use, like, because this was early 2000s. They didn't use, like, some offensive, like, Indian voice to voice him, because that would be extremely tiring.
Right.
And, like, could you imagine, like, a whole season of Apu on The Simpsons?
Yeah.
That'd be just the worst.
That would be really bad. But, though, Michael McDonald is the voice, though.
Yeah.
And I still think you'd probably search for something. Well,
the depressed Persian
tow said,
truck man.
That said, there's only one woman doing a voice on Bob's Burgers where there's three female characters.
That's true.
So, I mean, I'd like to say that, like, well, things are different now. You can't just hire a white guy to play a brown guy on a cartoon. But yeah, you can. You can hire a white guy to play a woman. In fact, you can hire anyone to play anyone.
That's true.
It's called acting.
Especially in a cartoon, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Super easy, actually. Real easy.
No one even sees them. It's
but I'm ready for my MVP.
MVP, Mark.
Okay.
I'm going to go with JFK.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
Because, frankly, he's the most, like, just outrageous character, I think,
sure.
in these first two ones. But, like, I just love some of the gags that they use. And, like, first off, like, the whole idea of the pool in the first episode is great. The gag where he keeps walking into the bathroom to add in little bits that he forgot to say is just so good.
Right. And then forgets to wash his hands.
Yeah. And then I forgot to wash my hands and the voice. I mean, the voice is just like the, I don't know, they probably just did a casting call, like, do your best Kennedy impersonation and just found, like, the hammiest.
Oh,
one.
Yeah. I was just saying, they didn't take the guy who was best.
No.
Great. Yeah.
But he's—I don't know—he's just laugh a minute every time he's on the screen. Just dick jokes and all the immature stuff too. It's just great.
Yeah, and Chris Miller did Mr. B and JFK.
He did. Yeah,
I just wanted to double check.
And he's one of the creators of the show.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And yeah, JFK is definitely an outsized weirdo character, and that voice is so good. Like, I whenever I want to do, like, a JFK, I think that's who I'm thinking of. But whenever I do it, I just do, like, advertisements as JFK. That's where I have my fun. Sean and I used to do them sometimes.
Well, I just like when he talks up high sometimes.
Yeah. I know. I didn't see it coming either. And by it, I mean me.
Good times.
Well, thanks for coming on, Mark. You're a classy gent, and we always like to have you around.
Absolutely.
And, I mean, Clone High is a great show. We like to spend our time watching great shows. Sean, do you have anything to add before we wrap up this episode?
Check us out at littleshowspod.com. Twitter's at littleshowspod. Brett's at Brett Maddill.
Brett Mad.
At Brett. Brett's at Brett Mad.
Don't even know my Twitter handle, Sean.
And I'm at Sean Stewman. Mark, you on Twitter?
Yeah. My Twitter handle is my name, which you're gonna not spell right, but Mark Vegase 88. Which is
check it out. Just give
M-A-R,
it a whirl.
There's so many ways. There's so many places for you to screw up
like,
Mark Vegase.
Give it like five shots, and if you don't get it on the fifth, just
here's
you know,
a tip.
Try again tomorrow.
We're gonna spell it right in the title of the episode.
Yeah. Exactly.
So if you're looking at the title of the episode,
you'll be good to go.
Add two eights to the end of the name you see there. And look on Twitter for it.
Chances are, even as you're typing it out, before you finish it, it'll pop up to the top. There's not too many of me out there.
There's not 87 other Mark Legaces first.
Yeah. The number thing, I should clarify again. There's not 87 more that came before me that are probably better. or that I'm the new virgin that's okay. the best either. I'm not saying either
right.
of those things.
Right.
Could be true, but I don't know.
Well, why is it 88 then?
That's the year that I was born. Also, Eric Lindros's number, best hockey player of all time. Don't look it up. It's not true, but but love him.
Okay. Awesome. Yeah.
So that's that.
Cool.
Thanks.
For I that. Look forward to Eric. The wave of new followers that I'm bound to have.
All five of them.
Thanks for listening. Little shows that couldn't. We'll be back with another episode of Clone High real soon. Until then, smell it!